And we see this role even when it came to women. Every woman, even in the upper class and the upper classes of society, were subservient. For example, the family of Julius Caesar, all of his daughters were named Julia. That would get confusing, I think. But it was typical for a father in a Roman culture to name all the children after him in some form. And so a woman had to get permission. For example, if her husband died and she wanted to get remarried, she'd have to get permission from her uncle or brother or even maybe son to be able to do that, because it was a second-class citizen role for women. Now, this dynamic is even more so with children. I'm not exaggerating when a father has the right to be able to kill his son if he disobeys. Kind of brings whole new meaning to this idea of teenage rebellion, doesn't it? When murder is on the line, doesn't it? Okay, so I thought that was really kind of shift the whole dynamic there of teenage rebellion, I think, that when you hear that. Now, my point is not just to bash a Roman society, it was what it was at the time, but in Roman society, a child was an extension of yourself, and a parent had complete and total control, and all power flowed from the family. But when Paul came and Ephesians 6 was being taught in the world, the discussion of family life, everything changed. You see, Paul was acting as if a parent and a child both were worthwhile beings. You know, in the Roman culture, only the male had any value. Women had no value. Children had no value. But in Paul's teaching, he was saying that all members of the family have value, and they're all made in the image of God. That was radically different. And I know you and I, living in the culture that we live in the 21st century, we have a whole different mindset of teaching, but this was radically different. Excuse me, it's different at the time. So please understand that. And instead of a system where the family unit was about power and maintaining status, it instead became to the idea that parents and children were to have a relationship. It means both were valuable beings, both deserved care and love. Now, I want to talk about a biblical perspective on this complex relationship with parents and children. This is not only one of the most important relationships to deal with, because, as I've told you before, 85% of a child's personality is formed by the time he's at age 6 to 7 years old. That's kind of amazing when you think about it. These children are so young, but so much of their personality is formed by that age. So this is a crucial, crucial part of this relationship. So we have this relationship that also changes over time. You know, the parent-child relationship is different when a child is an infant. It's different when it's a young child. It's different when it's a teen. And it's different when a young adult. And it's certainly different when they're all adults. And because of that important complex situation, we're spending a week here today. We're going to spend our lesson today talking about how parents treat their... Well, last week we talked about parents treating their children. This week we're learning about how children are to treat their parents. I remember last week when people were saying, well, I'm not a parent. Does this apply to me at all? And it's, well, there's some over basic, you know, you're the child of a parent, so there's a relationship. But today, it impacts everybody, because guess what? Every one of you have some kind of parent somewhere at some time. Now, your parents may have gone on, but you still have had that relationship at some time. You are someone's child. So let's begin with that Bible verse by looking at several key words from that Bible verse, how children treat parents in all phases of life, because it changes. Here's the first. In all stages of life as a parent, the first is honor. That's the word. Say back with me the wet word, honor. Honor. We understand this word. It's rooted in the Old Testament. It's rooted in the Ten Commandments. The New Testament, we just read it from Ephesians. This single word described, it's described and put together, it's the word honor. The Hebrew word is kavod. The Greek word is tomeo. And they both understand in the exact same way as honor. They carry the idea of assigning value and holding precious. The word literally, when you put it together, really literally means heavyweights. Now, that's not talking about your parents' waistline. Okay, when it says heavyweights. Hey, Mom, Dad, we talked about you today. We said you're fat. Don't go home. Don't get me in trouble like that. That's not what I'm saying. The word heavyweight means that it holds a lot of high regard. And that's the way we're looking at our parents. Now, I can already hear some of you saying, I don't read minds, but I heard enough things in 47 years that I kind of know what's being thought. Because there's a lot of people probably in this room thinking, oh, preacher, if you knew my parents, you wouldn't be telling me that I need to honor them. And let me just say, I have been with a lot of parents over 4 decades, almost 5 decades. And I've been in a lot of family situations. And I think that this has to be addressed. Because the unfortunate thing is, some of you did not have the greatest parents. Some of you in the lottery of life did not get the greatest parents. And for you, I'm sorry. But the Bible is pretty clear that specifically we are to honor our parents. I remember the night before the pandemic began, it was really a couple months before, Linda and I and our oldest son and our grandson, teenager, went on a cruise. We went over to Rome and we took a cruise ship back 11 days. It's for our 40th wedding anniversary. And we had a great time and it was wonderful. And got to see some sights and spent 11 days on a cruise ship with my son and our grandson. And I've told people that story and they said, did it not drive you crazy to be with your adult son and your teenage grandson that long? And I'm like, oh, no. And they said, oh, I can only handle being around my kids or my grandchildren for just a little bit of time at a time. I go much longer than that, and they drive me crazy. And I've told many people who said that to me. And I have to realize I'm very fortunate that we're blessed with our sons and we're blessed with our grandkids. But not everybody is so lucky. And back to those with less ideal parents, I'm going to say something. I know this is controversial. But the Bible still says you need to honor your parents. Now, I know that steps on your toes. Nowhere in the Bible say that you have to love your parents. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you need to like your parents. But it clearly says in the Bible you need to honor your parents. As my parents aged, they changed. My mom, whom I loved dearly, became very negative and quite vocal. To put it delicately, she was a handful. And as she got older, for example, if any of you ever watched the old TV show, Everybody Loves Raymond, she was Marie. Okay. That just gives you an idea. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. I would call my mom often, and she would give me a long conversation and criticisms and complaining, and I would just listen and you know, you could just listen, mostly, for an hour or so at a time. And I once remembering our oldest son, Matt, saying, why do you put up with that? Why don't you just quit calling Grandma? Because she knows I really didn't look forward to those calls because they were going to be so negative and so harsh. But I saw this as a teaching moment and told him God's word commands us to honor our father and our mother. And I remember saying to him, it doesn't mention anything about doing that only if your mother is easy to live with. To be clear, my mom wasn't abusive. She was just difficult at times. And I have to say a word here that I'm not talking about a situation where there is abuse or there is harm. And at the same time, sometimes being difficult and annoying and is not the same as unsafe in that popular sense. I mean, when there's real harm, there's real danger, this commandment is to be reconsidered. So I understand that there are some family situations where there's real harm and real unsafe situations. I acknowledge that. But really, to understand what this is about, the commandment is not about saying that you have to put on a fake emotion, that you have to pretend that everything is okay if you have parents that are not necessarily working their hard at being the best. It is this commandment saying that we need to forget the hurt and honor. We don't have to act like things didn't happen. We don't have to act like they were the best parents in the world. We just have to honor. The commandments showing honor because of not because of what they've done, but because of who they are. I liken it to the office of president. I have lived since Eisenhower, so I've had a lot of presidents that have filled the White House. Some of them I thought have been real goobers. Not necessarily the best presidents, but I've always respected the presidency. Not necessarily the person who inhabited the office. Do you get me? So we are to honor our parents, even though sometimes they may not necessarily fulfill the honor of the office. They are still our parents. But things change over time. And we can see the very next one from our younger days, not now, but in our youth, we're to obey. In our youth, we're to obey. Every society has a pendulum when it comes to dealing with kids, and it swings back and forth. Usually it'll go to one extreme, and oftentimes it'll go to other extremes. It's almost like we're seeing how hard we can screw up our kids. And it goes back and forth and back and forth. I'm going to share with you my opinion, and I'm telling you it's my opinion. I always tell you that. What I preach and teach to you from God's Word is always from God's Word, and I make sure you're clear with that. But I'm going to tell you something that's from my opinion, but I feel it is valid here. We're working way too hard to getting children to develop their own voice and discover who they are when they are still too young to achieve that goal. We're talking to children in first grade and second grade about gender dysphoria, which is absolutely insane. We're having books in preschool that deal with homosexuality and deal with other issues that are far beyond their ability to know and to understand. Our society has swung way too far in that direction. I've come to the conclusion that we need to spend, this sounds kind of counterculture, we need to spend less time listening to our children and more time with them listening to the adults. Because adults have things they can teach. Because you've all lived a lifetime of experience and a lifetime of learning God's Word and being able to apply it to life. And we sometimes, I think, get set aside because we want our children to find their way. Well, I know children that can't find their way out of a paper bag. And we can't expect them to do that on their own. That's why we're parents. We're there to help them. The word that I'm thinking of that could sum this up is the word obedience. Children are to obey their parents. What parents say aren't suggestions. We are to obey our parents. Let me go back to verse 11 and read this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Oh, guess what? I had it right. That's what the Bible says, too. And, of course, obedience changes as we get older. We can't grow up in our life treating our parents like we're still 6 years old. That changes. But we also shouldn't lose sight of the fact is that you live in your parents' house. You should respect your parents' rules. We're like any other kids in the world. They weren't parents. They weren't saints. We had our issues with our kids, too. I remember very specifically my kids going through the phases. I want to do things this way. And I shared with them my ultimate rule number one. My house, my rules. First time Linda and I visited my oldest son, literally walked in the doors, took our shoes off, and he said, "My house, my rules." And I said, "Absolutely true. Absolutely true." See, he did learn something. Apparently, he learned something over those years. And so I think it's really important for our children as they grow independent, and independent of mom and dad, that means moving out of the house, being on their own, paying their own bills, paying their school debt off, and all those kinds of things, then they get independent, then they can make all the decisions they want. They deserve it. They've actually achieved it. Good for them. But until that time, if they're still living in their parents' home and they're still functioning with their parents, the word obedience and honor come to mind. Now, as we get older, we get independence, And number three, as we get older, we appreciate. As we move out of the house, we look back at our parents and we come to appreciate. Mark Twain famously said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to be around the old man. But when he got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years." And there's some truth in that from Mark Twain, is that we begin to appreciate our parents as we grow older and start living the life that they have lived. We begin to understand that. For me, the biggest moment of appreciation, I remember we had our first child, and it was my turn, and it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and he was screaming his lungs out. And I was walking around with him, trying to pat his back. I changed the diaper. I'd done everything that I knew to do, short of dropping him. And I was walking around with him, and it struck me like a lightning. My parents did the same thing with me. I owe them. And it just struck me just out of the blue. It wasn't like I didn't know that before. But when I was actually having to deal with the child, and 3 o'clock in the morning, and I wasn't getting my sleep, and I wondered, how many times did my parents not get any sleep? How many times did I cry like this? How many times did I mess up their plans? How many times did I change what their evening was going to be or what their life was going to be like? And it made me appreciate so much what my parents had done for me in just that simple moment. As we get older, really consider what your parents did right. Because you have already considered everything they did wrong when you were a teenager. See, that's when we think we knew better. We're teenagers. I can't believe you're so stupid. I can't believe you're doing this. Nobody else parents do this to me. I can't believe you're doing this to me. You must hate me. On and on and on. We've all heard those lines, haven't we? But when they become adults, it's the time to look back and start thinking about, Mom and Dad did some things right. I do know how to make my bed. I do know how to wash clothes. I won't starve. I know what to do in a kitchen. There's some things my parents taught me that they weren't completely stupid. Proverbs 23 says, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Hopefully, in adulthood, that appreciation is in a form of honor that allows for a relationship. Best relationship I've ever had with my parents was when we were both adults and could talk about adult things, and could discuss things we disagreed about as adults. And that's the best kind of relationship to have as two believers in Jesus Christ, and you share and talk. It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. But number four, in later years, remember. Remember. That's for parents in their older years. And I know this morning, as we have Mother's Day, there are some parents who are really struggling. There's some people who right now are missing their moms. Some of you recently, some of you a long time ago. And I want you to know that my heart goes out to you, because I've lost my mom, and I remember back now and try very hard to remember those great times and those great things and those great events that happened. But the best thing you can do in those later years is remember. As you age, your parents age, and it's important to honor them by keeping your parents in your life and not abandoning them. Again, I'm going to kind of step away a little bit, and I'm going to tell you, this is from the book of Roger. One of the things I've learned about ministry in Florida is you're going to have to minister with senior citizens. People retire, they move to Florida, they love the Sunshine State, they have several good years, sometimes many good years, but ultimately one of them passes away. And the other one is left alone. And they've been away from up north so long, they've kind of lost connection, and the kids have kind of gone their own way. And they find themselves very much alone. It's important to parents to affirm their relationship in life. It means calling and checking on your elderly parents. And I can honestly think one of the worst cultural developments, this is from me, I've seen in my life, is the frequency in which we cut off all contact with our parents. I know there's a lot to be unpacked in that. I understand. There's a lot of life and living goes on in that. But to cut a parent off is basically to end their relationship with the rest of their family. It's like putting them on a boat and sending them out to sea to live the rest of their life alone. It could have been a disagreement, could be a fight, could be selfishness. It could be some small thing that's been made a big thing. But the reality is, as Christians, please hear me, back to Scripture. As Christians, we have an obligation to care for our family. And that extends in a special way to our parents. 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, Paul's writing to a young preacher. He's young. We don't know if he's married or not. I don't think he is. But he's a young preacher and he's dealing with adult situations. And Paul gives him this teaching. Honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn how to show godliness to their household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. Hit a pause button there. What he's saying is, if someone is a widow, but they have children and grandchildren, those children and grandchildren should step up and take care of that mother. That is what he's teaching. And then later, command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for members of his household, it's his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I was listening to a sermon by Edwin Lutzer. He talked about his experience in nursing homes, and I was kind of shocked when I heard this. He found out that 70% of the residents in nursing homes receive zero visitors. 70%. No family, no friends, no one comes to see them regularly. Every family will figure out a way of their own, but I think the Bible's pretty clear that we're to remember our parents even in our older years. Psalm 127 talks about this idea of children carrying on the heritage. That's a great concept for our parents to pass on, a heritage. Will we continue to honor their memory and living well and carrying on the lessons they taught us? Ideally, parents give you a solid foundation and we honor their memory. One of the ways I honor my father was a Kentucky hillbilly, thought he was moving up in the world when he moved to West Virginia. And I remember some of the sayings. He had a lot of sayings. He's a smart guy from a woodsy country place. If you don't take time to do it right in the first place, you'll find time to do it twice. My dad said that all through his life. My dad said this: you cannot unsay a cruel word. And my dad said this a lot too: most of the stuff people worry about ain't ever going to happen. He didn't worry about a lot. I honor my mother by continuing on her heritage of cooking. My mother was a chef in a country club, and she was a great cook and taught me how to cook. And every time that I'm behind and on the stove or I'm cooking something, I think of my mom, because she was always there. That's the way she expressed love to her children, was she cooked for them. That's a heritage. For all this, we see the heritage of an unbroken line. If we were to go around and share, each of you probably have some kind of heritage that you share from your parents as well. Whether you like it or not, you probably share a heritage of theirs. I'm reminded of the story by the Brothers Grimm called The Old Grandfather. Story goes, once a time, there was a very, very old man. His eyes had grown dim, his ears had failed, his knees shook. Kind of sounds like me. And then he sat at the table, and he would hold a spoon, and the wife would bring him his bowl of soup, and he would use his spoon to get his soup, and he would shake it and spill, and he'd get some of it in his mouth, and some of it would go down his beard, and it would make a mess. And his son and wife were so disgusted at this, they made him sit in a corner over by the stove. And he had to sit away from the table. And they gave him his food in an old earthenware bowl. And he would try to drink his soup. And one day the bowl fell and it cracked and went into a lot of pieces. And so they decided that they were going to make him a wooden bowl, like a pig trough, and made him eat from that. And they wouldn't give him a spoon because he'd make a mess with it. So he had to eat with his fingers. And then once they were all sitting there, the little grandson, 4 years old, was pushing some pieces of wood around on the floor. And, "What are you making?" asked the father. The boy said, "Oh, I'm making a little trough for you and mom to eat from when I'm big." The man and woman looked at each other and began to cry, and they immediately brought the old grandfather to the table and always let him eat there from then on. And if he spilled a little, they didn't say anything. Each of us are a part of an unbroken line. Our children learn by example. Some of us are a little embarrassed by the example we've shown our children. But I've shared with you last week, you never stop being a parent, and it's never too late to show them a good example. Live a life worth repeating. Let's pray. Father God, we love our children. Some of us have children that are farther away, and they're in their own life, and they have children. We have grandchildren, and life has gone on. Some of us, not quite as old as that, have children closer, and we're blessed to have them close to us. But Father, that your word is so clear and so true that we're to take care of our family, and sometimes that's not easy. It's not. But Father, that's what you've called us to do. I'm reminded that sometimes we're not easy to take care of. Sometimes we're disobedient. Sometimes we're negative. Sometimes we don't follow what you tell us to do. But you love us just the same. Help us to begin to show the kind of love that you show to us, to our families. Let them realize that the love that you have shown us has impacted us, and now we're trying to show that kind of love to others, especially those in our family. It won't always be reciprocated. It always won't be appreciated. But we'll know in our hearts that we're obeying you by showing honor. Father, help us to get past the bad experiences that we've had, that we're not pretending they didn't happen, but Father, to move past them, because you've told us that you can only forgive us if we forgive others first. So help us as we move toward forgiveness and peace in our life, that we might gain forgiveness from you, and help us to honor those who may not deserve honor, but we are commanded to give it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.